And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, Genesis 4:8 begins with Cain suggesting to his brother Abel to go out into the field. It seems innocent enough. Hey, let's go take a walk and check out the field. Who knows? Maybe we can see something cool. Well, that's what Cain said. But that wasn't Cain's true intention. What Cain was planning on was to kill his brother. It was merely a ruse to lure him into a trap, indicating that people have been attempting to trap others since the very beginning of humanity. Next, Cain attacks Abel and kills him. This isn't the first time death has touched the planet, because Adam and Eve died spiritually when they sinned. But this is the first time that death has not been attached to a natural lifespan, and it should serve as a cautionary tale as far as how far sin can actually lead a person. Like to take another one's life. Wow. And in verse 10 in Genesis chapter 4, it speaks hope. Now here you would think, this is the story of murder. Wait, Dave. You're telling me verse 10 and Genesis 4 speaks hope? Yep. It does. To us, we should all have picked up on this. The Lord tells Cain, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Even though Abel is dead, he is still speaking to God. His blood is calling out to God for something that happened that never should have happened and was never intended to happen. And God's response is directly connected to Abel's outcry. Did you hear that? This tells us there's life after death. In the beginning of all of this, there's life after death. Why? Because Abel's blood cried out to God. Wow. Right in the beginning of the Bible. But it also tells us that the blood of the one who has been hurt cries out for vengeance, not for grace and mercy. So it's a good thing for us that Jesus' cry was different than that of Abel's.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, oy vey. So much more. All right, a couple of things to remember. First of all, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. How do you know that? In the first five words of this show, when we started, I made a mistake. That's all I know. And I've done that over 1,000 times. I can tell you that. So it's not pro radio. It's radio. Okay? That's number one. Number two, what do you think? How are you doing? What's going on with you? What do you need help with? What do you want to share? What's on your mind? What's on your heart? What's stirring you? What's moving you? If you want to, you can reach out to us by sending an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, I do want to point this out to you. So you should know this. This is something you should keep in your mind. You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing that your spiritual radio family, notice how we differentiate that, that your spiritual radio family has your back.
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. So we were all praying for you over the weekend, so we're very glad that you did, in fact, accomplish your goal. And I don't see less hair on the top of your head, so I feel as though you did not have to rip out big clumps of hair off your head. So that's a good thing, right?
No, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad, and it was a busy weekend, but you know, I'm proud of saving up and getting a new car. It was a big step because my car was pretty old.
And I don't want to agree with you by any means, but yes, it was. I actually parked my car a little further away from yours. Anyhow, no, I'm just kidding.
You're like, if that one starts smoking and it blows up, hopefully it won't end up blowing up my car. So let me park far away.
Anyway, good job, brother. All right, so if you want to reach out to us, you can. And here's a couple of things that you can do with that. You can do that because you got a praise report, because we love hearing praise reports. So people are like, you know, your show is really weird.
Yeah, I know.
It is. And it's like, well, why aren't you doing more current events? We do occasionally. But really, right now, between 1:30 and 3, our biggest goal is to encourage you to get closer to the Lord. You want to know why? Because it doesn't matter what the current events are. If you're close enough to the Lord, it doesn't matter. Oh, let's see. To circumvent everything just that way. Here it is. We're geared towards encouraging one another as we see the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. That's how we're geared. Okay? What we want you to be able to do is share or be prayed over or any of those things. It can be a prayer request. It can be a praise report. You can have a dumb joke. I have plenty of dumb jokes, okay? Plenty. I mean, just trust me, I have 15 sheets of paper of really, really bad jokes. It can be something that's just going on. Or it might even be Bible trivia. So we're doing a couple of different things with our Bible trivia, moving it all over the place. Let's see if you guys can get this one. It's the next one up. It is referenced in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. Did everybody hear that? Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. What tribe of Israel did Moses belong to? Exodus 2:1. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out and give us a call, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. What tribe of Israel did Mo belong to? Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 will tell you that answer. In the meantime, somebody is calling in. Oh, I'm going to delay on our DNA for a second because that was coming next. I do want you guys to please remember to be praying for the audience. It's just important to understand Romans 15:30. You join one another by, Paul said, join me in my struggle by praying for me. And you join one another through prayer. It's a very powerful, powerful tool. You connect. I shouldn't say tool, vehicle is really what it is. You connect with the Lord through prayer, and you connect on behalf of others and help carry their burdens by praying for them. That's kind of cool. All right, somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. Oh, you sound pretty good. How was your weekend?
Well, it was about the same.
About the same.
I didn't do anything exciting or anything.
Nothing overly challenging. Well, at least you didn't have to move a bunch of boxes right after you worked out and then went, I'm tired, I quit.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the trivia question, then we'll pray over you and ask the Lord to bless you and give you just a phenomenal week. Here we go. Which tribe of Israel did Moses belong to?
Levi.
That is correct, Amigo!
I didn't have to look this up either.
Yeah!
I knew it.
You knew that one right away. That's a good one. I knew that, David. I didn't have to look that one up. For those that didn't look it up, Exodus 2:1 is your reference point. Excellent job, Gary. Let's pray over you. I want the Lord to bless you. Is that all right? Is it all right if he
That's
blesses
good.
You? Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. I thank you for my brother. He's a delight. When I hear his voice, I'm happy because I just know he's hanging in there with me, praying until something happens. Push. And Lord, you know we're here. We're just going to be committed to it, doing our best, bringing it before you. So we're praying for two things, Lord. One, I do want to pray you bless his week. I really want to pray that he has a great week. He has something happen that really just encourages him and blesses him in the spiritual realm. But Lord, I also ask you to bring healing power into his body. And we can't make that healing power come about. And I'm not going to beg you for it, Lord. I'm asking you for it. And I'm asking you to pour it out upon him because it is yours to give, since you are Jehovah Rapha, since there is healing in the wounds of Jesus Christ, because you are willing. And we ask you to pour out that willingness into Gary's body and make the change for him, that the miracle can be proclaimed on the top of the rooftops, Lord. Please bless our brother, heal our brother, encourage our brother. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. And I prayed for all of you yesterday, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. Excellent job. Always good to hear from Gary. All right. So let's do our DNA, because I don't care what you say. I figured out at this point in my life. So I've been doing my devotions for a long, 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 long time. Not long enough. Okay. I have my own little goal, my own little thing in my brain that I'm trying to get to. But I recognize that after I spend my time in prayer, undistracted, separated. I don't allow the cell phone in there. Doesn't matter. If for the 45 minutes I'm praying, if somebody calls and I can't get to them, they'll have to wait. What if it's Noel? Have to wait. We've been doing this our whole marriage. What about Bible reading? No distractions. In fact, what we do is we don't answer anything, we don't respond to anything during that time. Why? Because there's no distraction. I don't want to hear anybody else. I want to hear what the Lord said. And I've really come to know that after I do my devotions, then it's like the day starts again or something. It's just a weird thing. It's like, okay, now I'm ready for whatever. But not until I spend that time with the Lord. So the DNA, and that's not bragging. I'm just telling you what I do works for me. If it doesn't work for you, listen, more of God will work for you. I don't care what anybody says. DNA, our building blocks of who we are. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Right, every day that you drink any liquid or eat any food or breathe in any oxygen qualifies. Okay? That's that same day you want to spend time with the Lord. Does it have to be for a certain amount of time? No. Does it have to be this way, that? No. Your relationship with people is different every day, every hour of every day. I mean, Noel and I spend a lot of time together, but it's not the same every time. We do a few things that are similar, but it's always different. Timing is different. Phone calls are different. Conversations are different. Have that going on. In fact, I'm going to probably pull out a teaching that has to do with everybody coming into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That word knowledge is epigenosa. That means knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge of Jesus means knowledge by contact. And how we mature is we have contact with Jesus. So it's so good. And it's all based on relationship. But okay, we'll get to that later. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. They are trying. They are trying every which way they can to ban the Word of God, to say that anything you say in the Word of God that is culturally offensive is going to become illegal. They're already doing it in some countries. There's no question about it whatsoever. And it's like, too bad. Our authority is the Word of God. The Lord God Almighty, creator of the universe, created the universe by speaking. The dude can write a book. I mean, come on. And so he has something to say, and we need to hear him. And then when we're praying, we're sharing our heart with him. And a lot of times when you do pray like that, he shares with you at the same time. It's really cool. Anyway, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Luke 9:26, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come in with my Father's glory. He's like, whoa, don't want that. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
Serve. It's just always having that ready. And here's the thing about that. It doesn't mean that God's going to use you every 24/7. But if we're sensitive enough, I mean, how you seek something, Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it makes it clear. It says, set your heart on the things above. And the very next verse, it says, seek the things above. It tells you how to seek things. You set your heart on it. You set your mind to it. You set yourself towards it. We need to have our hearts and minds set towards being ready at any moment for anything the Lord wants. It's almost as though you are, I guess it is exactly like this. You are an ambassador for Christ, and you don't put that ambassadorship away. That is what you are. So you're always an ambassador, always doing that job, always ready. That's what it's all about. Draw closer to the Lord daily, D. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, N. And A, always be ready to serve. Okay? All right. Cool. All right, we will take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, as we have on the phone a very dear sister. Let's send her through. Send her through. Send her through. Is she there? There it is. Knock, knock. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Rosalyn.
Hi, Rosalyn. How are you?
Well, I am equally as excited to share something that God has done and also kind of equally grieved at this prayer request from something that I just experienced literally 15 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. That's a whole lifetime in just a few minutes.
I know. It seems to happen that way a lot lately.
All right, fire away. What do you got going on?
Okay. So first, I had planned since yesterday. I wanted to call today because I was so excited. I wanted to call like right at 1:30. You'll understand why I didn't quite make it at that time. But anyway, so remember how my friend Maya, she was working on med school applications about a year ago this time. Do you remember that?
I do, vaguely, though. I mean, not in great detail, but I remember some of it. So you'll have to fill in the blanks.
She was doing med school applications, and I was just trying to help where I could. It was a very long process. Anyway, so she ran track, and she had to explain to me about track and relays, et cetera, right? Okay, so that was all went into her essays and for med school. Well, now we're at a year later. She's going to med school starting in July, and I'm just so thrilled. I'm just praying for her still for her salvation. I had invited her to come to church, but she didn't want to come. She said, no, it's not my thing. I don't really want to go. So I'm still praying for her a lot.
Okay.
But I went to church yesterday, and this is my mom's church. This is the church that adopted the Evergreen Bible study where mom lives. And the pastor, Pastor Scott, he's studying Malachi and about messengers, and he's using this illustration of relay races. You know, so you pass the gospel from one person to the next person like that, right? Okay. So then the last few Sundays, he's been having people come and like, oh, so-and-so, this is how they were, you know, kind of shared the torch and they shared on like this. Well, then yesterday, all of a sudden, he starts talking about Evergreen, and I thought, oh, no, it's not me. And then I thought, everybody else is in a walker. It's me. He called me up on the stage, and I actually was wearing a dress with, like, dress shoes and not, you know, I don't wear high heels, but, you know, with a little bit of a heel. And so then he expects me to participate in this relay, and I thought, oh, dear. And then his wife, she's really sweet. She's like, just power walk it. I thought, no, I am all in. I'm not power walking it. And so the other part of Maya is that she has been helping me get healthier and stronger and exercise more after my cancer surgery, the second one. And so I was like, no way, I'm not power walking this. So anyway, I got put on the spot to do this relay thing in this church sanctuary. So it was pretty crazy, but it was just amazing how you talk about that God is so intricate that all of these little pieces that seem so unrelated, he brought it all together. So today, when I got to see my friend Maya, I said, Maya, you were instrumental in the success of Pastor Scott's illustration from Malachi, all of your efforts, right? And she was just like looking at me like I'm crazy, but she said, that's a cute story. So it actually made her smile. And I just, you know, I kind of was trying to use it as see how God is using you, come to church. And so I think she has this idea growing up that church was just about marriage, and it didn't really have an impact for her, right? It didn't relate to her. And so I'm trying to show her, no, it's for everybody. So I'm still praying that she will come to know Jesus, and maybe she knows him, but just is very, very distant from him, thinks I don't need him anymore. I don't know. But I mean, ultimately the prayer is the same, just for her salvation, that she'll come to God. And so that was my big excitement that I wanted to share.
Okay.
I will take a breath.
Okay, take a breath.
Okay. Think about that. But then, so I'm leaving school today, and then I was in the library returning a book, and then I wandered into the main area where I really wasn't even going to go, but then I thought, well, I'm already here. Maybe they're giving snacks away or something. So I went over there, and then I started talking to another student that I had met. And this is, it's like a Baptist student ministry Bible study. I met him about a year ago, too. And so I thought he was a Christian. Well, then I'm talking to him. This is the first time I'm at, because they would kind of run it how they would run it. So it wasn't, I didn't know he was not. And as I was talking to him, because I came over to say hello and invite him to church on Sunday. And he's saying, no, I just had this argument with my mom. I don't want to go to church. And then it's just this anger and bitterness that's coming out of him about, and he's just, I mean, he literally said he rejects God and he doesn't think, he doesn't agree with how God did things, like why God would almost make Isaac sacrifice, or Abraham sacrifice Isaac as a test, and he doesn't think, and that he just flat out doesn't believe, like he apparently has gone to Bible studies and studied the Gospels, but he just doesn't believe that Jesus actually resurrected. He chooses to not believe anything, and so I was remembering what you told me, like just say what Jesus has done for you instead of arguing with him. So I just told him, I said, look, I've been through this really bad sickness. I lost my job. I've had cancer twice, all of these things. And God has brought me through it. And he said, well, I look at that and I say, well, you know, why should you have gone through cancer twice? Why should you have gone through this or that? And so it's like everything I was trying to share with him, he just kind of was choosing to see the flip side of it of, oh, well, no, that's only because God is the way he is. It, you know, he made all this happen and it's predestined anyway. And so that's really my heartache is for him, that unlike the people I've met, you know, that have shown up on my front door or the Uber, they were all open and eager. They were searching for a hope. And here he's like, I don't need hope. I'm not looking for hope. I don't want anything. And so it was just a much harder, heartbreaking, I guess, conversation to have with him. I gave him one of your cards and I told him to call the radio show if he had questions, because I was trying to answer the questions he had. And I said, you know, people call when they just don't know and they want to know about things. I said, so, you know, call the radio show. And he was talking about Genesis, and I had written down through March the episodes that were about Genesis so that he could listen. And he didn't really want to take a picture of it, but he took a picture of it anyway. So I don't know if he's going to listen or not, but I just wanted to
What's his name?
His name, I'm going to spell it because it's kind of a difficult name. F-I-R-A-O-L. Farrell.
Okay. All right. So let's say we'll call him Sir. S-I-R.
F like Frank.
Oh, L.
I-R.
F-I-R. Yeah, okay.
A-O-L.
Okay.
Like that, AOL.com.
Okay, got it. And then the gal that you ministered to, just remind me of her name that you
Maya.
Told, Maya?
Maya.
Maya.
Yes, Maya.
Okay, all right. Here's the deal. I'm going to explain it to you. I'm really going to, this is going to be really weird because we're going to go a completely different direction because that's what the Lord wants to do and that's what we're going to do. So, wow. So listen to this. First of all, the gentleman, Mr. F, we'll call him Mr. F. Mr. Okay. F believes in God. Let me just explain to you why. He believes in God because he's mad at God. He's mad at God because somewhere along the lines, it's got nothing to do with, he wouldn't allow this, he wouldn't allow this. He got hurt. And so he blames God, and you can't blame God if you don't believe in God. Okay, it doesn't work. In other words, you can't go, it's God's fault. But I don't believe in him. But yes, you do, because you're blaming him. So obviously there's some hurt there and there's some pain. And what he really doesn't know is he's encountered something where the best way for him to deal with it is to avoid saying, I don't believe, so he doesn't have to deal with it. And so he can kind of separate from it as best he can. And it's just to try and throw different things in that direction. The irony behind it is that it wasn't God who desired sin to enter. It was man's choice to bring sin into the world. And man had the choice. And based on that choice, that's what polluted the earth, not God. So what he wants to do is blame the Lord, but it's mankind's fault because mankind made the decision to rebel and to allow sin to enter, which then allowed disease, sickness, and death. So it's the irony, though, is that that's ultimately not what his issue is. he's hurt. Somehow, in the process of his life, he got wounded. And that wound has him mad, and he's frustrated because he doesn't know how to get past it. And so the best answer for him is just to throw everything at God, because it's God's fault, but I don't believe in God, but it's God's fault. So it's like, yeah, you're going to have to pick one of those, whether you actually believe or don't believe. And if you don't believe, we'll go down that road. But if you're hurt, then you're just mad and there's something going on. And let's find out why you're blaming God. It's like, well, God wouldn't allow these kind of things. Well, God gave man the choice to make decisions. And those decisions didn't always turn out to be in the best interests of man. So part of that is kind of like it's like a bait and switch kind of mentality, so that he doesn't have to confront the truthfulness of it all. And it's easier. And so you're right about one thing. That's really, he might not listen to the show. He might not have any engagement with the church, but he will listen to somebody like yourself, because you don't have to have all the theological answers. You have to be somebody who cares for him, because that will make a difference. Because right now he's living in the nobody cares, I'm hurting, and I'm mad, and my mom's mad at me, kind of like, and everything's kind of like sour. So really what I'm going to pray is that the Lord will just use you again to be that awesome listener, awesome encourager that he will be able to talk to. And then for Maya, we're going to just pray that the impact resonates deeper, and that she would not think of church as a chore, but find out that church is an open door for a blessing. Is that cool?
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
Let's pray this way. Let's pray it right now. Father, we come before you right now, and I pray for Mr. F, Lord. And that's, Lord, because I don't want to mispronounce his name. But Lord, I know exactly what's going on. I just can feel it deep in my spirit. And he's hurt, Lord, and something happened. You know what it is. And Lord, what we pray for is that he could come to a revelation of you that will help him deal with the frustration he's felt on this earthly journey. He doesn't know what he doesn't know, and he genuinely wishes you were there in all of the goodness, but without any of the badness. Lord, open the doors. If not Rosalind, then somebody else who can talk to him and show the compassion that you showed me through Pastor Hunt's work, that you care about us, and that when we're hurt, it hurts you. Because, Lord, that'll change him. That truth will change his life. And so, Lord, instead of trying to figure it all out, Lord, bring somebody into his life that can share the compassion and the grace that come from your throne. Let him stop trying to disassociate and stop trying to connect everything bad in the world and in the church with you directly. Let him come to understand that you're merciful, gracious, and kind, and he just doesn't know who you are. Lord, we pray for Maya. We just pray, Lord, I pray the impact of all of her effort, and that the fact that it actually helped Rosalind get a grasp, an understanding, how you know even the hairs on our head, you know the number of the hairs on our head, that you are so intimate with us, and that she would find out that church is not a chore, but a place of refuge and grace. Doesn't have to be any of the churches that most of the people attend, but help her to find out that your body, filled with your spirit, is the place of grace and mercy, waiting to be poured out into her mind and heart. We pray for both of these. But Lord, I pray for Rosalind, that you would give her a sensitivity in her spiritual antenna, so she would know how to and how not to respond, and that she would just be herself, but share the love and the grace you've poured into her with others. Let that power be the testimony. Let that be the power of the kingdom. Let that be the very thing that changes lives. Let your gospel come through her heart and through her life and touch these two people.
and bless Rosalind and Robert for their willingness to be ready and to serve. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.
You are Thank you, welcome. David. You are more than welcome. You know you are. And if you have any problems or any further things, let me know. And I'd be glad to help you out, okay?
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Bye, everybody. Make sure you wear sneakers to church. You never know when you're going to get dragged into a relay race.
Yes.
That's another overarching lesson in all of this, just FYI.
Yeah, wear sneakers. Great job, Rosalind. Great job.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye-bye. We got some crew, don't we? We have the most unique people. Don't tell me. We have some weird people. I love it. They're almost as weird as me. Not quite, but almost.
Almost. Right. Yeah.
Most of you probably don't wake up and sing the Mighty Mouse theme, so I'm just going to say you're probably pretty lucky you're not quite as bad as I am. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll just see where it goes. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Destroying everyone. This is from our good friend, Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now, I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying. This is in the last month. And I even wrote it down in my little journal. How I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes, and I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses, and he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter, even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM. That's KAAM. Do you like that? KAAM. I love that. KAAM here in Texas on the Truth Station. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. See if you guys can get this one. This is a really good one. A really, 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 really good one. See if you guys can get this one. Here we go. What city is called the City of David? Huh. No, it's not my city. King David. What city is called the City of David? Luke chapter 2, verse 4. What city is called the City of David? Listen to the reference. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. If you think you know, you can, in fact. What can you do? You can call us. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So I'm warning everybody. Notice how I do that? Warning, warning. Warning, everybody. Warning. All right, according to, so this will make that easier, Luke chapter 2, verse 4. How about that? According to Luke chapter 2, verse 4, what city is called the City of David? According to Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Again, if you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Still going to send you up to the website. Wait, there's a great way to do the website. Ready? This is going to be a new way. Ready? Blah, 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 blah. Hemusincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemusincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemusincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemusincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemusincrease.org.
Hemusincrease.org.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
There you go.
I don't think they did understand because you went blah, 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 blah.
Okay. That's just too funny. This is all too. What, according to Luke chapter 2, verse 4, what city is called the City of David? In the meantime, I haven't done something for a while and I'm going to do it. And you guys are going to be like, are you really going to do this? And the answer is yes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do some jokes. I haven't had a chance to do jokes for a while and I kind of miss it. And I know a lot of people are like, well, they're not that funny. It's like, oh, well, that doesn't matter. Has that ever stopped me before? The answer is no. Okay. All right. Here you go. Here comes a couple of jokes. They're just very short, very fast, very quick ones. Ready? All right. How do you make a bandstand? How do you make a bandstand? You pull their chairs away.
See, no, that's not going to do it.
See, that's funny. How do you make a bandstand? You pull their chairs away. Okay. I thought it was funny. Okay, come on. That was funny. All right, here we go. Why do refrigerators hum? Why do refrigerators hum? Here it is right here. Because they don't know the words, so they hum. All right, what is taken before you get it? What is taken before you get it? Your picture. Ah, good one. Hey, 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 hey. That'll do it for right now. Okay. All right.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one clap.
Okay, one clap. I thought the bandstand one was actually pretty funny. How do you make a bandstand? You take away their chairs. What city is called the City of David? This is from Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. What city is called the City of David? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. We're not going to do Genesis today. I know Rosalind's going, no, wait. No, no. We got a lot of time to do Genesis. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to teach this other thing, which is really a maturity teaching. So what do I mean by that? This is a teaching that is not easy to hear, but you must hear it because everybody thinks they know how to be God. Everybody thinks they know the best way to do the things that God does. A great example is Martha and Mary, who are wonderful, wonderful believers, but they wanted Jesus to get there earlier for their brother so that he wouldn't die. Well, that's nice that they wanted that, but because they wanted that doesn't mean that's the way it should be. And because of that, we have to learn that God's methodology and timing are different than ours. Now, why would that be? Why are they different? Because he is the only one that holds all knowledge. God doesn't know some of the story. He knows all of it. So that's important for you to understand as we look at this in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. So just take Genesis for a second, put it to the side. We're not going to be taking our break. We're just going to be going forward on this. So listen to this portion here. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. I thought he was born of the Holy Spirit. Yep. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, turned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That seems like such an innocent, simple verse, doesn't it? Doesn't seem overly complex. I don't think it's overly complex, is it? I don't think so. Here's what it says. Let's make sure we understand what is being said. Jesus, full of the Spirit. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. That's the command. It's not an option. Be filled with the Spirit. Jesus, of course he had the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Holy Spirit. But there's a difference between allowing or surrendering yourself to God to such a degree that you are filled with the Spirit, or you just have, the basic. In other words, there's more of the Spirit to be filled with if we will surrender our lives to the Lord. And a lot of you out there, and I know you don't like this, but that's too bad, you don't surrender enough areas to the Lord, and so you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not walking in the same level of power that you know you could be or should be. Jesus, of course, was not that way. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan. This was after his baptism, as most people will recognize, where he was led by the Spirit. So he's not only full of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's leading him. He's guiding him. The Holy Spirit's directing him. Wow. Where is he directing him? To the best place ever? Is he directing him to the castle? Is he directing him to the mansion? Is he directing him so that he can get a massage? No, he's directing Jesus to the wilderness. The Spirit of God filling Jesus Christ, directing him to the wilderness. Verse 2, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil and ate nothing during those days. Sometimes the Lord leads your path not immediately to the promised land. Have you noticed that? But sometimes you have to go through a little bit of wilderness before you get to the promised land. By the way, I think most people will recognize, without getting too deep into this, that this is a full-on illustration for the children of Israel coming out of bondage, out of Egypt, and going where? Into the wilderness before they get to the promised land. There is a promised land that God has for you and I, and it's awesome. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a land that will produce great fruit. But there are times in the journey that before you get to the promised land, you must go through a wilderness season. I know that nobody wants to hear that. But that's too bad, because that's the reality. Even Jesus, having never done anything wrong, gee, can anybody else say that? No. Was led by the Spirit, after being filled with the Spirit, into the wilderness. There are times where the Lord directs your steps into places of trials and testing so that you, he knows what you're going to do. you can know what you're made of. You know, some of the tests that the Lord allows in our lives, it's for no other reason other than to show us, hey, I really do believe. Or, hey, I believe, but only to this degree. And the Lord uses these trials to teach us and to mold us and to grow and to develop us and to conform us into the image of Jesus. And you might be sitting there going, gosh, it seems like I go through that trial of patience every other week. And here's my most direct and most meanest possible response. Well, I guess you'll just keep going through that trial until you learn it. Because that's why you keep going through it. And what we want to grasp, what we want to see is that the Lord brings us in these places so that we will grow and develop and mature. Now, what is it? It's funny because Rosalind just said, you know, she's coming off of her surgery, off and getting through the cancer-free process. And what is she doing? She's building up her muscles. She's doing some exercising. She's doing some things to strengthen herself. Because that's what she needs to do to get to where she wants to go. Well, just take that analogy or that example and make it an analogy for your spiritual journey. Sometimes the Lord will have you go into the wilderness for a season for a reason. It's never just to put you in the wilderness because God is mean. It's so that we'll grow. And so that we'll learn and that we'll be sensitive. In the case of Jesus being in the wilderness, it's very specific, listen, on what his provisions were. What were his provisions? For 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. In other words, the most basic need for eating was challenged compared to the need of just being where the Lord wants you. Very, very tough teaching. And then this happens, and boy, I hope you get this. I'll probably make a mistake sharing this, but I'll just do my best. At the end of the time, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." First, he says, if you are the Son of God. There's commentators that think, well, he wasn't trying to imply doubt. Satan is always trying to make you and I doubt. Of course he is. It's all he does. Yea, hath God said. I mean, that's all he does. That's how he exists. But what he wanted Jesus to do was use his power. Listen. Wait, get this. This is the biggest thing. If you catch this, then the whole show's worth it. He wanted Jesus to use his power for himself. If you're really the Son of God, take this stone and make it bread, because the Son of God can do that. And then you would be taking care of yourself. But that's not what the power of God is for. The power of God is to take care of others, not to take care of ourselves. And how Jesus responds is, of course, the Word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So he tells them, no, bread is not the answer. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what becomes our food. But Dave, food is basic. Not for an eternal being. Just for a fleshly one. So here's what I want you to get. Sometimes the Lord will lead you into a wilderness. In that wilderness, he wants you to grow and be strong and be powerful in him, relying on him and depending on him. And as you grow and as you mature, you don't use these things that God is teaching you and coordinating in your life for you, because it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's for others. And it's important to understand that the gifting and the gracings that God has given you is for the benefit of others, and that you are a steward of it. And to use it to your own advantage is not what God has in mind. But for those who are in the wilderness, let me say this, because I know several of you are. You don't stay in the wilderness. Jesus was in there for 40 days. It was a long time. But he didn't stay there. Eventually, the wilderness comes to a close. And the lessons and the growth learned are therefore used to glorify God. So if you're in the wilderness, instead of complaining and telling God what a lousy job he's doing, you need to surrender and say, not mine, but your will be done. And not bread, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. That is what Jesus wants us to be aware of. That, you think, well, that's just for Jesus. Then why is it in the book? It's for all of us. I want you to really pick up on the maturity of this. He was hungry, and the devil's temptation was to use his power for himself. And Jesus said, no, I'm not doing it. That's the maturity that comes out of a wilderness. How about that? Wow. Don't tell me that's not. That's some serious teaching right there. Okay. All right, back to the trivia question, because we do have to do the trivia question. I know some of you are like going, what just happened? What city is called the City of David according to Luke chapter 2, verse 4? What city was called the City of David according to Luke chapter 2, verse 4? And that city is? O little town of Bethlehem. It's Bethlehem! That's the City of David. There you go. For those that did not know that, and for those of you that are in the wilderness, you will not be in there forever, but learn the lesson the Lord has set before you. And being in the wilderness doesn't mean you did something wrong, because even Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.